Hey everybody, hope everybody is well. I wanted to take a look at the scripture reading for today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find.' And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to look at the guests, he saw there a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen.'" So remember that the context of this parable is when Jesus has come in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem with much fanfare, and he's gone to the temple and examined it as if it belonged to him and sort of cleared house. And the temple authorities challenge him and say, "Where do you get off? Who gave you this authority? Show us your badge. Show us your credentials." And Jesus says, "Well, I'll show you my credentials if you answer this question: was John's baptism from heaven or from man?" Of course, they refuse to answer because they know it will implicate them. It's in that context that Jesus gives these three parables. The first one about the father and the two sons who are called to labor in the field. The next about the wicked tenants, and the last, this one, about the wedding feast of a son. Notice that there's some common themes in all of this. It all has to do with a father calling his children to work in his field, a father demanding fruit from a vineyard, and finally this father who is inviting people to the wedding feast. And of course, they feature the son or sons. So all of these have to do with the father and his purposes and how people are resisting that. And of course, Jesus is trying to challenge the leaders in Jerusalem with their resistance to his rule and to his kingdom. So a couple things I'd like to draw out in this parable. The first is that in this parable, the kingdom is compared to a wedding feast. It's not a funeral. It's a cause of celebration and joy. And sometimes the preaching of the kingdom or our understanding of the kingdom is of a somber thing. And of course, there's comparisons to laboring and there's the matter of bringing forth fruit. But this is a celebration. And our understanding of the kingdom should be filled with a sense of joy and exuberance and festivity. And then a comment on those who resisted. Notice that they were invited ahead of time. They were people who had said, "Oh yes, we'd love to come to the wedding of your son," but who when the time came, didn't want to interrupt their lives and give up the things they were doing to be a part of the wedding feast. And this really does bite into that issue in discipleship. We like the idea of being Jesus followers, but when it comes down to the real practical implication in my life of whom I'm called to love or what I might be called to give up. Again, think of the rich young ruler. He doesn't want to give up his wealth to be a disciple of Jesus and to be a part of his kingdom. And then just a comment on, hey, what's the big deal? These people don't come to the wedding and so you kill them? I think this deserves some comment. Notice that this is a king. This is not in our modern context. And notice they're refusing to come to the wedding of his son. Note, the son is the heir of the king. He's the one who's going to be the ruler one day. And the bottom line is their refusal to come to his wedding feast is not, it's not an act of boredom. It's not an act of, they're just far more interested in other things. It's not rude, it's rebellion. This is political insurrection. Remember, in the context of history, very often it was the heirs of kings whose lives were very, very fragile because people wanted to kill them because they wanted to be king instead. So this wedding feast and the invitation to it is a threat to all other sovereignties. If I don't want to give up my kingdom, if I don't want my kingdom to be interrupted with the kingdom of this great king and his good son, then I'm in the category of those who say, I really don't want to come, and who come up with excuses. And honestly, who knows, maybe these excuses are kind of like, I've got to wash my hair. Maybe it all just comes down to they refuse that kingdom. Notice also that it says that when they refused or when they would not come, they went some to their businesses and some to their farms. I think this speaks to all of the good thing God gives us and God calls us to do, that if our made ultimate become idols that make us rebels against the king and his kingdom. God gives us all these good things, but like the rich young ruler, we are called to carry them, to carry our possessions, to carry our work that we do very open-handedly. Being willing to let it be given up to serve the purposes of following Jesus wherever he might call us to go. And the people of God have repeatedly shown that they are willing to sit loose with all of those good things. But these people refuse to come because they have made those things ultimate. Finally, a quick comment on who is who in this parable. I want to suggest that the invited who refused to come and killed the messengers, I want to say that that speaks to much of the Old Testament from Moses onward, the prophets that God sent to his people to invite them into his house and into being a part of his purposes, and how the people of God continually resisted. And that would include the leaders in Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus says, you guys have built the tombs of the prophets for a long time. So I think they are all in that category, or in danger of being in that category of those who are going to be killed. And indeed, the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, partially in fulfillment of that. But then the invitation to anybody who will come, good and bad, that's clearly Jesus' ministry and the ministry of the disciples, calling anyone, even prostitutes and tax collectors, publicans, to be a part of this gracious kingdom that God is establishing in his son Jesus. And then a quick comment on the wrong clothes or not having a wedding garment. Once again, this is not just bad manners. This isn't just dressing wrongly for a black tie event. The issue here is that in Scripture, clothing is always symbolic of larger things. And in this case, I think the clothing symbolizes the righteous deeds that are required of those who are called to be a part of the kingdom. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is speaking here, or the parable speaks here, of the good, the teachings of Jesus that we're called to put into practice, not doing our righteousness before others, being those who put an end to relational conflict, being those who extend the Father's forgiveness and generosity to others. And so this is a guy who's been invited into the house, but refuses to enter into and practice the teachings of Jesus. In fact, we could say this is a guy who's been invited into the house graciously, forgiven for whatever bad he's done, but refuses to extend that badness to others, just to give one example that Jesus has given repeatedly. So some questions to ponder out of this passage of Scripture. One, have you responded to the invitation to attend the wedding feast of the Son of the King? Remember, we all like the idea of discipleship in general, but when discipleship calls me to change the way I relate and carry my sibling in my heart, or to forgive a certain person, or to let my possessions be used to bless others instead of just being hoarded for myself, or maybe even giving up the very good things of my comfortable life for the sake of being faithful to the gospel, as many Christians have had to do. The question is, when the invitation comes, not just the general invitation, but you follow me now, it's a good question. Have I responded to that invitation? Another question, am I wearing the wedding garment? Remember, God is he's very generous. He's very pleased with any efforts that we put forth to put Jesus' teachings into practice. But if we're not putting forth, we're putting forth no effort to respond to God's grace and to put the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount into practice in our lives, then we don't have the wedding garment. And so Jesus really is issuing a warning out of love. It's not a grace-less warning, but a graceful warning that calls us to take seriously our discipleship. And then, of course, one last comment, that this is the way this has often been interpreted, that we are called to extend this invitation to any who will come, to be a part of the celebrations of the coming wedding of the Son of this great, gracious King, who is our Father and the King is our Lord Jesus. Well, the Lord bless you all. I hope everybody's doing well, and we'll see you next time.